I want us to identify moments like this, and we come to a place, wow, church, that you would really know what it means to sing of his extravagant love. And in that, it's just like, what lengths did he go to? Like, how far did he go to say, Sean, I love you. God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one true living God, the great I am. Say, Sean, how can I show you my length of my love for you? Sean, how would you know the extravagance and the depth of my love? Romans 8:5 says this. It's amazing. I'm sorry, Romans 5:8 says this, that God demonstrated his love for you. I love this because it demonstrated love that is so, so deep and so wide and so high and so extravagant. It's demonstrated for this, that you and I can never deny it. Please hear me. Don't look at your circumstance to say God doesn't love me. Don't look at your struggle and say God doesn't love me. Don't look at where you're at in life to say God doesn't love me. No, no, no. A demonstrated love can't be denied. He says, Sean, listen, I demonstrated my love for you that while you were still a sinner, Christ, my son, died for you. That is extravagant, demonstrated love that is so deep, that is so wide. On my worst day, yet I was still a sinner. Not that I was doing things right, not because I had it going for me, but in my worst place of being a sinner, he says, I loved you so much that I demonstrated it by putting my son on a cross for you, for your sin. And Sean, don't ever forget it. Don't ever look at your circumstance and to think for a moment that my God doesn't love me because I'm going through this, or I hit the wall there, or I don't see this, or that's not happening. And we come to a place where the enemy wants to creep in, that we begin to doubt God's love for us because it's not going my way. God says, listen, 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 get the picture right. I demonstrated my love for you, Sean, so much so that I put my son on a cross. And my wrath was poured out on my son so that it wouldn't have to be poured out on you. That is my love for you. And don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. Sean, I love you. Church, what happens? What happens when you come to a place to realize he loves me and he's never changed his mind? Because we can get in this, the love that we might have for one another, or the love that we have here on the earth, it should be like his, but at times it's not. When someone says, dude, I love you, and then they're nowhere to be found in a year, right? Or unfortunately, marriage breaks up and you had that love, and then all of a sudden it's not there. And we have this tendency to say, God, that's how I think you love me. No, God, no, 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 Sean, I have loved you and I've never changed my mind. I will always love you. I have a love that is everlasting for you. Church, what happens? What happens to our response to God when we understand he loves me? Come on, bow your heads, please. We come to this place today, Father, we're amazed by you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your demonstration of your love for us with Jesus on the cross. Jesus Christ, we owe you everything. We owe you everything. We love you. We're amazed by you. We honor you in our time of worship and our time of praise this morning. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say amen. Amen. Come on. Yes. How about Miss Katie on a keyboard ripping it? Come on. So good. So good. Man, welcome to BC, man. I'm so pumped. We're in this worship, this praise and worship series called Honor the King. Man, I want this, man. This is what I want. I want to see your personal praise and worship go to a different level, man. I want you, based off of an understanding. because based off of what the Bible says about praise and worship, what the Bible says about truly how great our God is, what happens when we do come to him and we worship him. And so much in the Psalms, when you see them start praising worship, they really talk about that he is the maker of the heavens and the earth. You're the one who made the sea. You're the one who made the ground. You're the one who made the trees. You're the one who made the mountain. It's amazing that in our time of praise and worship, we acknowledge that he is the great creator. Right, he is great. He is the Almighty. He is, was, and is to come. He is God Almighty, the one true living God, and he is great and greatly to be praised. And we own that, man, and we're pumped about that. But what happens? Watch this. What happens when your worship goes from just acknowledgement that he is great and he is the creator to make it something personal? I praise you because of what you've done for me on a cross. I praise you not just because of your greatness, not just because you are the great creator, but I praise you because you love me and you put your son on a cross for me. And Jesus, we acknowledge you and we love you. And our response to you builds our relationship with you. Listen, if you're married in this place and you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or you son and daughter or brother or sister or just friends relationship, you come to a place to realize, man, great relationships really do have great responses towards one another. When you stop responding to each other, the relationship's going to take a hit. And you know what praise and worship is? It honestly, it's so simple. It's our heart's response to the Lord. That's what it is. How you respond to him. Called to give him thanksgiving. Called to put ourselves in a position of worship. Called to say thank you. Because that's our response. And the right response builds the right relationship. And amazing when you're in a marriage that's a solid marriage and you're having great response to one another in marriage. You know that that builds the relationship. I'm just trying to make this so simple for you and I that we would understand why we do what we do. What does the Bible say about what it means to really worship him? And listen, there is something special when you come together in the community. There is something special when you have voices like these and instruments like these and they just come together with this atmosphere. All biblical, we come to this place to look at the instruments. We come to this place to look at the loud cymbals. We come to this place to look at our body language to the Lord and our response, whether it's on our knees or hands raised or clapping or shouting or being juiced and excited in his presence, whatever that looks like. It's amazing on a Sunday when the community gets together and it makes it kind of easy. But what about Monday? What about day to day? What about Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Do you think we're only called to come into his presence and come to worship him just on a Sunday? No, church, you are called to do that day after day. And we come to this place. And listen, I want you to know this, man. I said it last week. Church isn't just we come in and we sing a few songs and let's get to this part, man. This is why I'm here is the word. And there is power in the word. But man, if you've been here any long time, man, you know we spend our time to develop our time of giving him the honor that's due him and to praise him and to worship him the way he has asked us to do so, according to the Psalms. And I love where we're at right now in our worship. I love the response from the 11 o'clock. Hey, I got to tell you, though, Brenda and I were talking, and the 11 o'clock used to be juiced. Like, you were the loud ones. 9 o'clock, I don't know if it was this series, but they're getting louder than you guys. You got to fix that, man. Come on. 11 o'clock, you guys, you have no excuse, man. They're getting up early to go to church, packing the car with the kids. It's crazy in the morning. And they get here, and woo, they celebrate. 11 o'clock, I get up. I don't know what's happening, but they're beating you, and I'm in the competition, man. I expect to win. Like, so, come on. I want that. So, but we are seeing a great place in our time of praise and worship to our response, a proper response to honor the king and what that looks like. And I just, man, I want to spend a few more weeks in communicating this and going over this so that we really have a deep understanding. All I can do is preach it and you can get it and you can respond to it. And I'm juiced. I'm juiced that you're here today. Man, come on, let's get into this thing. Come on, let's look at Psalm 95, please. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. What a privilege it is to open up your word, which is alive and powerful, and we dig into it today. And God, we want to honor you in our time of worship and praise. Jesus, we want to honor you as our King. As we say thank you for the cross and our salvation and our redemption, that we owe you everything, we should give you thanks, and we should worship you, and we should praise you. It fits for us who believe. It just makes sense. And Lord, help me to communicate this so clearly today and help our picture of praise and worship to broaden. God, it's not just what we do before a message. It is huge and it's vital and it's so important to come into your presence to say thank you. We owe you everything, and worship and praise is that. And Lord, we thank you on Monday and Tuesday and throughout the week that we can come to a place to give you thanksgiving, whether in our car or on our couch or wherever we spend that time with you. God, we want to give you thanks through the week and praise you and honor you as we rightfully are called to do. Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Psalm 95, I want you to see this, man. This is an amazing invitation. This is an amazing invitation. We're going to hit several places, so you got to buckle in, man. Are you ready? Yeah. Oh, come on. That's what I'm talking about, 11 o'clock. Are you ready? Yeah. Game on. Here we go. Psalm 95 says this, and I love this because it's just so crystal clear. When you talk about what's it mean to be in his presence, and today we want to talk about what that looks like to be in his presence. But this is what the crazy part is. How is it that we have an omniscient God who is everywhere all the time? Psalm 139 says, if you go here, he's there. If you go there, he's there. If you go there, he's there. Heaven there, hell there, earth there. Like there's nowhere, he's everywhere all the time. But then we have a God in these moments that draws close. How is it, church, that we have a God who's everywhere all the time, but there are moments, and you know what I'm talking about, there are moments that he draws so close to you. It's as if it's him and me. But yet he's a God who's everywhere. That's talking about what it means to truly be in his presence. The Bible says, and you can put these verses up, Psalm 16:11. It says, in his presence, there is the fullness of joy. I love that. In his presence, you will make known to me the path of life. You will fill me. You will fill me the fullness of joy in your presence. And the eternal pleasures are at your right hand. So in his presence, there is the fullness of joy. Look at Acts 3:19 with me, please. Check this out. I'm just trying to set this up where you would see throughout Scripture, it speaks of what it is to be in his presence. Look at this. Repent, then turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. At times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Your version may say, may come from the presence of the Lord. To be in his presence are those moments that you and I can become refreshed. So you can come to a place to begin to realize how great our God is, and we worship him and we identify his greatness, and in his greatness, it builds a confidence within you and I. That's what I love about week after week after week. This is such the importance of praise and worship, that it is us on purpose with intent to come before him, to give him thanks, to honor him, to recognize how great he is. And it brings things back into balance. How many times on a Sunday you walk in one place, but you walk out in a different place because you've spent that time in his presence and it brought you, watch this, it brought you back into balance. No matter what week we've had, we come to a place in time of praise and worship to be reminded of how great our God is, and it just settles us and it brings us back into a place of balance to be reminded, God, you've got this. You are great. And you are with me. You are with me. Jesus, one of the last things he told his disciples, Matthew 28, he says, listen, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. What a promise. And then they watch him ascend into heaven. They're like, wait a minute, I thought that you said that you were with us always, and now you're leaving us. But there is something about his Holy Spirit that comes and dwells and remains within us to know, Jesus, you are always with us. Watch this. Psalm 95, I love this. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. I love this. Oh, come, watch this. This is an invitation. And we know that Scripture is inspired by God. So all that we read in Scripture is God-breathed, man. It's God-inspired. We don't know the exact author of Psalm 95, but it is by the Lord, and it's breathed by God, inspired by God for the teaching and training for you and I to come to a place to see God. It's an invitation, Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Oh, come, I love this. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Church, what is it that we do here even on a Sunday? And please, I don't want to just group this into a Sunday. Because, man, I want us doing this on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday and Saturday and back together. But there is something significant for you and I when we come into this atmosphere, when we come into the house together as the community that love one another and love our God. We come to worship Him and honor Him together, unified in voice. There's something special that takes place. And I love what this psalmist says. Oh, come, let us sing for joy. Watch this. Sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence. How are you supposed to come into His presence? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, with a praise. That's how we come into a place to be in His presence. Watch this now. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. I love that. With songs of thanksgiving. Psalms means songs of thanksgiving. For the Lord is a great God and great King above all gods, in whose hand, here's the creation part, in whose hands are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for it is He who made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Here's another invitation, verse 6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That speaks of our body language. How many know body language is so important? Because when you have the proper response, you're building the proper relationship. And our response to God through song, and our response to God through music, and our response to God through instruments. Listen, look at the first three verses. It says, shout joyfully. It says, sing for joy. Shout joyfully. Shout joyfully. That's in the first two verses. So we're supposed to come in to His presence and give Him a shout of praise that is filled with joy based off of knowing who He is and His greatness, that He is the creator of all things. Man, nothing is difficult for God. And when I come into this place of being in His presence, man, watch this. It is a reminder of how great He is. And it brings things right back into balance. Now, God, this is not too difficult for You. No matter where my week is, no matter what report I got, no matter what's happening in my life, God, You are greater. And I want to walk in this place to bring this shout of joy no matter what circumstance I'm in, because I know that You are great. Watch this. Here it is. Come, let us worship and let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Here's what happens when you see it written down for us. In a sense of he speaks of our body language, and He speaks of our posture, and He speaks of our position before Him in song. And it speaks of God. Listen, if I was to ask you like a real question, no answer, please, but what would you say, rated 1 to 10, man? What would you say your response to God would be based off relationship? And then you bring that into marriage. Like, what you want a great marriage. Well, what is your response to your wife? How is your response to your husband? Because the right response, it builds the right relationship. And when you come to a place, go, man, what has my response been? Watch this. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. In knowing that I belong to Him, Jesus Christ put Himself on a cross for me. What is my response based on that relationship? And you come to this place to quickly realize, God, am I lacking on my end? Isn't it amazing? God never lacks on His end of the bargain. He will always, always do what He says. But do we lack on our end of the bargain in a proper praise and a proper response to the great I am? Right? And we sung Be Enthroned today. And Katie didn't know that I was going to, and I've been just going into what it means to be in His presence, what it means that He has enthroned the praises of His people. Psalm 22:3. Can you put that up, please? Because I want you to see this, as even as Katie's singing this morning, what a powerful time in our time of praise and worship. And you come to this place, yet you are enthroned. Look at God, you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. You are enthroned by the praises of Israel. Like when you look at this, holy is the Lord. And when you see, even in Revelation 4, verse 8, you see these angels and they're just around the throne and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." And here, you are enthroned. And the word enthroned means you are inhabited. You are holy and you are inhabited by the praises of Israel. Israel was God's chosen people, Old Testament. Guess what? We are God's chosen people, New Testament. He is enthroned or he is inhabited in the praises of his people. And the word praises here is to come to him with songs of thanksgiving. Church, what happens when he is inhabited or he is enthroned? And the word enthroned means inhabited, and the word inhabited, watch this, that he dwells and remains. Isn't it amazing that the presence of God goes where he is praised? Can you see that there really is a connection between our time of song and our time of music and our time of worship and our time of instruments and our time, even at home, I'm no instrument dude at all, man. I have a time with music on myself in the couch or in the car, and I'm just in a great place of praise and worship to say thank you. And watch this. Please hear this. Don't misunderstand me. It doesn't just take music to come into a place to say thank you. Because he says so clearly in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I'm God." How many of us have had those moments where there's no music? There's no instruments. There's no singing. There's no voices. There's no clapping. There's no celebration. But we are right in the middle of his presence. And we're in this place to just simply say thank you. And you can be in a hospital and you can be in a place where you've got devastating news. You can be in a place where your home is going through just a struggle. You can be in a place where your back is against the wall and you can have just this quiet moment and you take up a posture of maybe your hands raised or on your knees or on your face and you just continue to walk in a place to give him a proper praise and to worship him and watch without any music his presence come in and let there be a stillness, that there'll be a joy that begins to fill your heart. It's amazing because I'm an emotional dude, man. You see me cry, I cry, and when not everyone does, and that's cool, man. I would rather be that, but I'm not. And you come to this place, I'm a tough dude. I mean, I'm a cop, SWAT guy. Like, I want to kick in doors and take out bad guys, and I cry. It's awful. It's terrible. I don't cry when I kick in the door. I'm actually smiling really big, like, let me go. Here we come on, bring it. But it was a total unplanned. I went into a restaurant and there was a dude in there meeting with another gentleman here at the church. And he's like, "Man, I was at church on Sunday. My wife and I were just visitors. We're actually from Rochester. We came in and in the middle of service and the singing, he says, I looked over at my wife and she's like crying and she needs a tissue. And of course, as every man, he asked the question, what did I do now? Why are you crying? And she was a visitor and she's like, I don't know. And she was like, it's just beautiful. Here's what happens when the presence of God is beautiful. And you come to this place to just be at times overwhelmed by his goodness and his grace and his mercy. And you bring things back into balance through song. Look at Psalm 95 again. Come on, come, let us sing for joy and let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Oh, it's the invite, man. Oh, come, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and a shout of joy to him with psalms, with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King, and he is above all gods. What happens when you have the proper perspective of who God is? And you walk in a place to give a proper response to the proper perspective to who our great God is. Come on, I want you to see this. Come on, James 4, please. I want you to turn to James 4. I want you to see something here. Because this is one of those vital pieces of what it means. And I mean this in a sense of you can't come cocky to his presence. You can't come in thinking you own the world. Because there's something about, watch this now, there's something about the reality of real true worship and praise, and it acknowledges of how great he is. God, you are majestic and you are splendid and you are excellent and your majesty and you are great and you are the creator and you blew your nose and things happened. God, you spoke and it became. God, you created me and gave me breath. I only breathe because you gave me the breath to breathe. You are my great creator. You are my maker. There's nothing. You can't come into his presence cocky. You can't come into his presence thinking you're all that. What happens? Watch this. What happens when you humbly come before his presence? Please hear this, man. When we're doing proper response, man, it does define his greatness. And when you see how great God is, you see that I'm just a little dot. But something can go wrong there. That's a reality, man. God is amazing and great, all-powerful, everywhere, all at once. He's all-powerful. He is timeless. He's always been, and I'm a dot. And that's true. But we can watch this. Please hear this, because we can misunderstand that in a wrong way, that we would actually think, because I'm a dot, I'm insignificant. And then our worship becomes less, because all of a sudden, the enemy will put weight on us and we'll actually think, like, I have no value. I'm just a nobody from nowhere. Man, I have no significance, because when I come in to worship him and honor him, I'm speaking of his greatness and I'm a nobody and I'm insignificant. Listen, church, listen, I understand that when we come in and we acknowledge how great he is, watch this. The proper way is we see how great he is and acknowledges that we are just a dot of billions of dots. But God says, Sean, listen, Sean, I have fearfully and wonderfully made you. Listen, Sean, I know your name. Listen, Sean, I handcrafted you. I put you together exactly the way I wanted to put you. Guess what, Sean? I gave you your birthday. You were born on that particular day, August 15th, 1969, at an exact time that I wanted you to come in this world. Sean, I know you. And church, that just, it screams of value and worth that this dot has before him. When I come into his greatness, I'm reminded that he knows my name, and I'm reminded that he loves me. I'm reminded that it's personal, because he sent his son to die on a cross for me, and that just drives me to want to worship him all the more. That just drives me to want to be in his presence. But come not cocky. We come in his presence in the right place to know that he is the great I am. Watch this. I want you to see this, because there's something here in James 4 that we've got to pick up on, because when you come into a proper place of praise and worship, please hear this, it screams of my reliance upon him. It screams of my, I see once again that I need you. I see once again that I am so dependent upon you. I cannot do this thing called life myself. I need you. Man, you are amazing. I am so reliant and I'm so dependent upon you, because you are great. And Lord, I can't do this myself. I need you. I love what James 4 says. Watch this. Verse 7. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I love this. Submit to God. The word submit means it's on purpose. I on purpose willingly put myself under the Lord. Listen, if we come and not submit to God, that means, God, I know more than you. I can handle this myself. Don't need no help. I'm good. That's not what submit means. Submit means I willingly, on purpose, put myself under. Submit means to put myself under. What? Submit yourself to God. I am very much willing to. Man, this is not a struggle for me to submit to the Lord. I love this. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Watch this. What's it look like when you're battling and when you're battling and when you're battling and when you're battling? What's it look like in your marriage? You know the enemy's got a hold on the marriage. The enemy's got a hold on your kids. Oh, and you're fighting. The word resist means to vigorously oppose. Listen, there's moments in our life, church, that we have to vigorously oppose the devil. Submit to God. God, I can't do this myself. Lord, I need you. And I walk in this place to resist the devil, to fight, to put on the gloves, and to vigorously, man, I'm going at it for my marriage. I'm going at it for my kids. I'm going at it for this church. I'm going at it for my neighbor. I'm going at it for my brother. I'm going at it for my sister. Man, what happens when you come to this place to fight? because I love this. Please look at this. Look at this. Look at verse 8. Draw near to God. Church, what happens? Watch this picture. It's so perfect. When you submit to Him, say, I can't do it myself. I'm under you, but I'm gonna fight. I'm gonna resist. I'm battling. What happens when you get to the end of the battle and the enemy has fled, man? And listen, these are just seasons of life. When you submit to God and you battle the enemy, guess what? He flees. But wait, listen, watch me now, watch this. What happens when you come to that place after battling? What happens? Listen, if you know this, if you've been on your face battling and you know what this looks like, what happens at the end of the battle, even though he's fled, what does it look like for you? I am drained. I'm emotionally drained. I'm physically drained, spiritually drained. Why? Because I've battled. Yes, the enemy has fled, but it leaves me empty. Have you been there? But it doesn't end there. Look what it says. Draw near to God. And what's his response? He says, I will draw near to you. You've battled. And you've battled. And you've battled. And you've won. But man, you're broken. You're bruised. I mean, I look at a boxing match because the words... To resist, it means to resist. It means to vigorously oppose. I'm fighting. And I think of a boxing match when they're just going at it and they're just going at it and they're fighting and there's blood and their faces are swelled up. And at the end of the match, there's one winner, but he's exhausted. He's won, but he's tired. He's emptied. He's given everything that he's got. And honestly, there's times we just... You battle and then you win and then you collapse. But church, we have a verse 8. It says, draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. What is it? Do we have a God who's everywhere all the time? But there are moments that he is so close. There are moments that he comes in and he's so close. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 10 says this, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. Isn't it amazing of walking in this place of praise and worship and walking in this place of longing for his presence? We can't come into his presence cocky. We can't come into his presence as takers. We come into his presence humble. We come into his presence going, I need you. I depend upon you. I rely on you. My reliance is in you. I admit that I can't do this. I admit that I fail. I admit that I've tried and missed. I need you, Lord. I come into your presence knowing my dependency is on you. I rely on you. I need you. Lord, I love you. I'm amazed by you. You are everything to me. Lord, I need you. I humbly come to your presence. And then the amazing promise is that then he will exalt you. You can't exalt the cocky. They're already way up here. Right? The arrogant, the prideful, and the cocky are already way up here. You can't exalt them. They've exalted themselves. You got to get this. This is so vital. You got to come into his presence humble, dependent. In his place of low, going, I need you. But then in his greatness, I love it. Sean, I will exalt you. And the word exalt, it means to elevate. Sean, I will lift you up. I've come in complete dependence upon him. and I rely on him. And Sean, I'll lift you up. Sean, after your battle, I will restore you. And his presence is refreshing of my soul. Ever been in that place where he just brings this wind of fresh air to your soul? Church, please hear this. We've been on this for so long about your soul. We got to get rid of the surface level stuff and get into the depth of our soul. If my soul is good, then I'm good. If my insides are strong and confident, if my insides are trusting in him alone, if my insides, my heart, my soul is dependent upon him, I'm going to be okay. I'll prove it to you. Psalm 27, please. Last place. I hope you're getting this. Dude, I hope you're getting this. This is so deep to me in my heart and what I want for you as a person, as a husband, as a wife, as a teenager, as a young adult, as one who's single, one who's engaged, one who's dating, wherever you're at in life. I want you to understand what this really means to give him a proper response. There's no age on that. If you have breath, praise him. I love the simplicity of Psalm 150. Now, this is David. Listen, David's a big deal, by the way. David's a big deal. David's a bigwig of the Old Testament. God says, no, wait, listen, he's a man after my own heart. I want him as the next king. I want him to be the second king. You had Saul as the first king. David was the second king. Saul came to a place to hate David. Saul came to a place to pursue David. Saul came to a place to put his armies after David. I mean, he had an army. He had the greatest, strongest army in the history of Israel chasing down one man. Good luck. That's where David was. And everybody knows David. Saved, unsaved, church, unchurched. Everyone knows David and Goliath. Like, if you know anything in life, you know, little dude took out big dude. Sling, rock, whoop, done, head cut off. Like, everybody on the planet knows that story. David and Goliath. He's a big deal. Becomes king. Greatest king in Israel's history. Conquered kingdom after kingdom. Conquered kingdom after kingdom. Conquered kingdom after kingdom. Failed miserably. He's a cheater. He's an adulterer. He's a murderer in his heart, caused one of his right-hand men, Uriah, to be killed by murder. Had a rough patch, I would say. And this is what he writes. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 27. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? I love it. Look at this. He's like, listen, this is King David. This is where he's at. He knows how great his God is. He knows that he is my light. He is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Church, what happens when you and I grab this to say, I will not be afraid. No, my soul is concrete. My heart is okay. My confidence is in him. Whom do I have to be afraid? Why am I afraid? I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. No matter who's against me, no matter if the walls are caving in. No, my soul is good. I will not be afraid. Watch what he says. This is huge. The Lord is the defense of my life. I shall not be afraid, or I shall not dread. When evildoers came upon me and devoured my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamped, that's an army. Though a whole army encamped or came around me, surrounded me. Watch this. Look at verse 3. This is huge. My heart will not fear. Church, what happens when our time of praise and our worship is not looking at our circumstances, that it comes to this place, you know, it's a part of my inside, it's a part of my soul, it's a part of my heart, it's who I am. There's depth to my worship. There's depth to my praise. It's not just the music. It's not just the instruments. It's not just the voices. There's something in my soul that says when I praise him, there's this confidence and I will not be afraid. How do we get there? Great in this. Easy for you to say, David. Was it? Did you hear that? My evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh. That's fun. though an army surrounded and encamped against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, watch this. In spite of this, I shall be confident. Come on, church. You can't tell me that this can't be me and you. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. As much, watch this, as much as the Lord fought for David, he will fight for you. My heart will not fear. In spite of this, I shall, watch this, I shall be confident. I shall be bold, man. I shall trust. I shall be secure. Here it is. Here it is. Verse 4. The title of this message is this right here. The title of this message is the one thing. In all of who David is, and all of David was, in this moment, he says the one thing. And I could think of a lot of things. I thought through this, like, okay, if my back is against the wall and I've got the enemy encamping around me and these people want to devour my flesh and they're after me and life just, whoo, this is a struggle, but I'm good on the inside. My soul is like, what's the one thing? God, wipe them out, kill them all. That'd be a cool thing, right? No, that's not David. You want to know why he's confident? You want to know why that he's fearless? You want to know how you and I can tap in to that no matter who's against me? My God is for me. What do I have to be afraid? Well, you want to tap into the confidence of your soul and your spirit and your heart? Then do the one thing that David did. Watch this, watch this. One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek. He said, this is what I'm after. The one thing that I pursue. The one thing that I've asked. The one thing that I go after, watch this, here it is, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You got to understand what the Old Testament is saying is here, that I might dwell, that I may remain, or that I may stay in the house of the Lord. Where was the presence of God in Old Testament? In the house of the Lord. Where is the presence of God in you and I today? By his Holy Spirit that reigns and dwells within every one of us. You had to go to the sanctuary. You had to go to the synagogue. You had to go to the house of the Lord. You had to go to the temple to walk into a place where they were celebrating God to experience his temple. But today is not that, but the thought remains the same. He says, the one thing that I pursue is to be in his presence. The one thing that brings confidence. The one thing that allows me to be fearless. The one thing that I go after is to be in my Lord's presence. Watch this, here it is, verse 4, to behold. What happens in his presence? To behold, or it means to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. What's it mean? Watch this. What's it mean to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord? To long for his presence. To pursue his presence. To seek his presence. And then what happens in his presence? What happens in our time of praise and worship? What happens on Monday and Tuesday? Is there begins this confidence that begins to swell up within you, knowing, Lord, I need you, and I come before you based me being a dot that is highly valued by you, that you are great, and I'm so dependent upon you. I'm not looking at the surface level stuff. I'm looking at where my soul is, my soul and my confidence. Fear doesn't come from the outside, man. It comes from the inside. Confidence doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. I don't know. People have it all together and they are useless when it comes to confidence. They have it all together and they walk in great fear. Fear is from within. Confidence comes from within. And when you and I come to a place, watch this, to say, Lord, I long for your presence. Because it shows me again that you are great and I'm fully, totally dependent upon you. And I want to give you the proper response. Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. Come on, church, let me ask you, where are you in this today? Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Visitor here, we're so pumped that you're here. But don't leave. I mean, I want you to know God loves you. He loves you. No matter where you're at in life, he loves you. He sent his only begotten son to die for you, that you would come to a place, say, Lord, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I repent. I turn from my sin. I am dependent upon you. Forgive me of my sin. You are Lord of my life, and I surrender to you. Where are we in this? Saying, God, I want to be in your presence. God, I need your presence. I long for your presence. God, I know how great you are. God, I know that I totally depend upon you. God, I need you. Lord, I worship you and I praise you because I need you, God. My response to you, you are the great I am, and I love you, and I'm amazed by you, and I worship you, and I praise you, and I want to be in your presence. I need your presence. I seek you. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Bless us as we close. In Jesus' name.